Hi there, welcome to this week's edition of the Heart of a Youth Leader podcast and YouTube video. Great to have your company. Now, here's a question I've got for us today. Who's in control of your ministry? Who's in control of what you do? It seems to me that a lot of us youth leaders want to be in control. It's seen as something, is the place to be. And I think a lot of us often live with the fear of being found out that we don't really know what we're doing. And that leads us to greater preparation, greater desire to maintain as much control as possible. I don't know what you think is the most important part of your week. Maybe you think in terms of ministry that your youth group on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night or whenever it is the sort of pinnacle of your responsibility. And therefore we do so much planning to make sure it can be as good as possible. And that's all wonderful. But the challenge I've got for us today is, does it put us in control? Because if we are in control, God can't be. We can't have God in control and us in control. It's him or me. And the danger is we do stuff for God, and therefore our youth group looks great and is very fun place to be, and there's good teaching and interaction. But actually, it would be very little would change if God wasn't in the room. We talk about him rather than allow him to move amongst us. And what does this look like? Well, for Thrive, the charity that I run in the UK, we have one of our core values is courageous dependence on the Spirit. And that means choosing not always to have every single box ticked, that we will know what will happen in every situation, but rather spending time in prayer going, God, what do you want to do? We've got this prepared. But what do you want to do? Because we want to go with whatever you want us to do. And there's a story in Mark chapter 9 where Jesus, it's called Jesus Heals a Boy Possessed by an Impure Spirit. Jesus comes along, finds his disciples arguing with a large crowd and teachers of the law. And Jesus wonders what on earth's going on. So he starts in verse 16, says, what are you arguing with them about? A man in the crowd answers, which is really interesting. The disciples all sort of look embarrassed, looking at their feet or not saying anything or waiting for someone else to step in. Isn't that the case when we are caught doing something we shouldn't really do, or we're not proud of, or we're not confident, or we're out of our comfort zone, or feel like we should know the answer but don't? We go silent rather than being the first to admit our mistakes. Our human tendency to be proud is amazing, isn't it? And yet that's such an opposite characteristic of Jesus. A man in the crowd answers Jesus, saying, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. No wonder the disciples are feeling awkward. Jesus replies, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And Jesus casts out the spirit and the boy is fine and stands up immediately. Amazing miracle happens. But it's that thing of if you can, everything is possible for one who believes. And when the disciples approach Jesus after this miracle and say, how come we couldn't drive the spirit out? Jesus' reply is, this can only come out by prayer. The thing is, with our youth groups, with our youth meetings, if we are so focused on what we're doing, so focused on our teaching, our plans, our preparation, and not our prayer, not our time of seeking God for what he wants to do in that session, then real transformation can't happen. The miracles can't happen. The Spirit can't move because we've not invited him to. And it's one thing saying, "I'll come," but actually I'm going to go with my agenda, or going, "Well, here's my plans, Lord, but I want you to come and do whatever. And I'm prepared to be out of control. I'm prepared to go off piste. I'm prepared to completely scrap my plans." I remember one time going to preach at a church, and I was driving in my car on the Sunday morning, and I just felt what I've got is not right. I just got that sense of, it feels a bit flat for today. And I couldn't work it out because I'd enjoyed preparing and I thought it was a good message. But in the car, I just felt, "Lord, it's not right. It just doesn't feel right." And I'm sitting in the church and the service is starting and I'm still thinking this isn't right. And then something happened as someone walked through the door late. And immediately I just felt the Lord say, "I want you to refer to that, what's just happened in the foyer. I want you to refer and to talk about actually something completely different." And so I went completely off script and spoke into what I just felt the Lord was saying. And it's amazing the response I got, because people didn't know I'd done that. But for me, it was allowing the Spirit to talk. It would have been easy to go, "Well, I'm not really excited by what I'm going to preach, but I'm just going to go with it. It's what I've got, you know, it'll be fine. It'll get me through." A friend of mine says, "No one dies," which is a very sad way to measure preaching, isn't it? But I can understand. Maybe in some of our churches, "No one slept" is what we think. But then again, that's because we're dependent on ourselves, not expectant for the Spirit to move. Maybe in our youth work, our youth group meetings shouldn't be so formulaic. Maybe we shouldn't always have start with a game, start with a dot, 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 have a teaching, get people to reflect on it. Because it's a bit like a school lesson that is safe. And of course, there's nothing inherently wrong with any of those elements. In fact, they're great. But what would it look like if God was leading it? Would he go the same thing every week? Would he be in a formulaic system? Would he go stick to the program? Or does he go, "What's going on in their lives? What's going on today? What do you need? How can I help you?" And that challenge that he can do anything and everything is possible for the one who believes. So my challenge for this week is to take everything that you do, everything that's on your mind, even the things you know you can do without thinking, to God in prayer. Ask him what he wants to do by his Spirit. Because we need to be out of control so that he is in control and that it is his kingdom that comes and not ours. Have a great week. Let me know how you get on and go for it.